Anyway, the last time I taught, the subject was considered dedication, if you remember that. It's been about a month or so since we taught. It was from Romans 12, 1 and 2. So if you will, we'll go ahead and turn over there and get a little refresher. Maybe this will jog your memory a little bit. Romans 12, 1 and 2. 12, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Okay. Romans 12. Everyone there? Okay. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, just as your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, in those two verses, what do you guys see in those? What's taking place? What is Paul urging us to do?
Don't live for ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. Not to live for ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Turn our lives over to God.
Yeah. Okay. What's he saying in verse 1 here? What's he telling us to do? He says, I urge you to do something. What is it?
Live in complete surrender to God.
Correct. But what does it say?
Renewing your heart and mind with Him.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice.
That's it. Yeah, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, that is, and we're going to learn some more about this in just a little bit.
What does that mean?
Huh? To present our bodies?
Yeah.
What you see, okay, should not be flesh and blood, but what you should see is light, which we will learn later on, because Jesus tells us that we are light, okay? And that in that light is where we belong and how we conduct ourselves and how we present ourselves to other people, how other people see us. Do they see us or do they see Christ in us? Okay? And that's what he's talking about. This is to present your bodies that way, to live this type of life in a presentation type. It's like a gift in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then he goes on, and then after that, because if we do this, this is acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. Okay? And then if you go to verse 2, and he says, do not be conformed to this world. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about that here in just a little bit, too. So keep that in your mind as we get into this other part of this other teaching in this line here. So do not be conformed to this world, but to what?
Transformed.
Yeah. But be transformed by how? How's it done?
Renewing your mind.
By the renewing of our minds. And the renewing of our minds is what is written in this word. Not only just to read it, but to live it. Yeah, the presentation of our body is alive, and it's living. It's living word. Okay. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for being with us this day and blessing us, Lord, and walking with us and keeping us safe. Father, you know exactly what is taking place in our world today and where it's going to take and what's going to be happening every day in our future. And Father, I just want to give you the praise and glory, Father, for keeping us safe. And Father, we ask for you to remember all of our brothers and sisters who are not with us, Father, and who are ill and going through different things. We pray for a speedy recovery for them. And Father, it would be so sweet and nice to have them back among us and we could see their smiling faces once again, Lord. So, Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for what we're about to receive tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight's study, we're going to look at being separated. Consider being separated. Okay, it'll go hand in hand with what we just read here in Romans 1 and 2. So if you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians. 14. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 14. We're going to go 14 through 7:1. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Duh. There, there. Duh. Help me. I'm glad you guys are helping me. This is going to happen. 2 Corinthians 14, Gwen Turner. Praise the Lord. So thank you. Somebody like, yeah, everybody there? 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Here we go. So like I said, tonight, the title of the lesson is Consider Being Separate. Okay? So let's go ahead and read these verses. 14 through 7:1 is where we're going to be reading. It reads, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, which is Satan?" Okay? Some of your Bibles might say Satan. "Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Okay? So let's go back to verse 14. So what is a separated life? What is it?
Set apart.
Okay. I agree. It's set apart.
It's worldly and heavenly.
Mm-hmm. But being separated is the way that we should be living. Separate, in other words, separated from the world is what he's talking about. All right, being separate from the world.
So, not going in the world, but not out of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to verse 14, what does it say? It says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers." Being bound together with unbelievers, what do you get from that?
Bad news.
Bad news, yeah, that's true.
Conflicts,
yeah.
Stumble into old habits.
Yeah. What about, you know, he's using the word bound, which is it could deal with marriage and business partnerships or in business. It could deal with that. But being bound can also, it doesn't mean it couldn't, you know, it doesn't have to mean a physical binding, but a binding of agreements. Okay, if we are in agreement with what the Word of God tells us, and then there's a teacher out there that's teaching something different, and we agree with that, then there's a binding there. You see what I'm saying? So it's like what Satan did in the garden with Eve. Just a little bit of a word change caused Eve to agree with Satan. And it's kind of the same with us. If we believe a certain scripture, or if we walk in the light, and a false teacher teaches part truth, and then the rest of it a false, we can fall into that and be... Go ahead, Victor.
Just a quick question. Mm-hmm. I kind of see this as a warning, because... Mm-hmm. I know that in Scripture it does tell us to, if you are unequally yoked in your marriage,
yeah,
if the other individual lives with you peaceably, you are to stay with them so that you could bring them to Christ. So for me, I see this as a warning in the way that you are with others in relationships. But in the other verse, it's clear that just because you're unequally yoked, if you're already married, you're to stay married if they will live with you peaceably.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is clear on that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be yoked up with a false teacher. You sure can. And that goes on a lot, especially when that teacher, like I said, preaches the truth, and then adds something that is not the truth to it, then you could fall into that because you just don't know, and we're supposed to find out. So what else? We're supposed to be separated from unbelievers. What else does the word say about the separated life? So what are we separated from?
Darkness. Sin.
Mm-hmm. What does the word say? Look at your word. What does he say? What it is? In the second part there says, do not be, we just looked at the first part, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness with what?
Lawlessness.
Yeah. So this separated life, we're separated from lawlessness. So what is lawlessness? What is it?
It's when you're not living your life the way that God wants
you to. That's true. Yeah, that's very true. You're living your life as you want. Like, thank you. Yeah, as you want to live it. And you don't care what God says. You don't fear God. You see what I'm saying? You're not trying to find out what pleases God. So that keeps us in a place of lawlessness. Because we're not following through. Go ahead.
I think it has a lot to do with when you're walking with somebody, an unbeliever, in that you walk into all those things because you're so tempted, and your old nature comes back, you know, and you fall to those temptations of lawlessness that you used to do, and so you have to be very careful of those kind of people.
Amen. Yeah.
Unbelievers, because you will be tempted.
Yeah, we've talked about this at our men's breakfast one time. It's so easy to go back to what you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It is so simple, so easy to go that way instead of actually walking with the Lord and staying in step with Him and staying confident in the new life that you have now. But it's like I said, it's so easy to go back into that sin that you were saved from. That's why, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed when you're reading your Bible, I think it's mentioned several times about remembering the day of your salvation, or remember the word that was spoken to you. It's said several times. And if we'll do that, that kind of just locks us in. And just, it's kind of a holding, because if we think about it, if we listen to what the word of God is actually and truly saying, then how can we go back? I mean, if we accept it into our lives.
Even then, Gary, there's a warning to not even hold those past remembrance in, I can't remember the word, revelry?
Mm-hmm.
That you look back in fondness, oh, the good old days,
yeah.
The way I used to be.
Yeah.
There's a warning that we should not do that, that we shouldn't look in that manner.
I agree, yeah.
We talked about putting hands in the plow and looking back.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, that's a lifetime achievement for us. It's not instant. It really isn't. Not instant at all. Go ahead.
We also got to remember that when it's talking about looking back there, we're supposed to be looking forward, not back.
Always.
We should be going that way, not
yeah,
back
always. Back. So so what else? What else is in this that he's mentioning here?
Light with darkness.
There you go. Yeah. The separated life is separated from darkness.
Yes.
Okay. What is he talking about there?
They can't dwell together. Yeah. You can't have both. One has to defeat one, one defeat the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. Go ahead.
I think that we could also apply this principle even to, like, our employment. Like, if you are working for an employer who you know is, let's say, embezzling money or doing illegal activities, I mean, wouldn't we as Christians be obligated to maybe, like, distance ourselves from that type of situation?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, I have family members that are not on the law-abiding side of the life.
Me too.
So, like, I would, you know, not, I can't associate with them because if they're, like, known criminals, and I never know if they're going to have something on them or not, you know, I just can't even take that risk. And, you know, I think similar things can be said for, like, if your boss is a crook. You know, and stealing people's retirements, or, you know, working somewhere where they're stealing stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think that can apply in lots of other areas of life as well. Like, I feel like Christians, we have the obligation to not just turn the other, or how do you say, like, turn a blind eye, you know. And I know that there's a lot of people who don't like to do that, and it's very frowned upon, but, you know, I've had to experience that kind of stuff, and they really, other people just really shun you out for doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So we know that the darkness is anything that's not true. I mean, and the world's just full of it. I guess you could say it that way. It's just full of it. So, you know, full of darkness. Full of darkness. And of course, Satan comes in here next, because it says, "For what harmony has Christ with Satan? None whatsoever."
One is darkness and one is light.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it goes on, and it says, "What has a believer in common with an unbeliever?" Nothing. Same thing. No. There's no common ground there between the two. Okay. And the last one is idols. For what agreement has the temple of God with idols? This is so vital for us to know who we are. And he's explaining it to us right now, and we'll get into it just a little bit more, is that we are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit resides within us. And we have to accept that. If we don't, then we're going to be a hit-and-miss Christian. We'll be right on one time, and next time, oh, Lord, what happened? You know, how come this happened? Why? And it doesn't have to happen that way. If we accept what the Lord is telling us here, and we've read it in other places in the Bible about being the temple of God, about, you know, God living in us, Jesus living in us, and the Holy Spirit, all three living in this temple. So anyway, so there's no connection with unbelievers or with Satan or with darkness. No connection for us, because we are the temple of God. Okay?
And even then, Gary, I think when it says idols, I think it's important to know it doesn't necessarily mean physical idol, but it can be idols that we hold above in importance. Like, as a parent, it could be my children.
Mm-hmm.
It can be money. Idols doesn't only mean just a little wooden statue. It can be those things in our life that keep us from drawing close to God.
You got that right.
Because we make those idols in our lives.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to something about that here in a minute, and I'll share something with you. Something that held on to me for years and years and years, and you're going to laugh when you hear about it. But anyway, it's funny. But so anyway, so we know what the separated life consists of. So what our new separated life, what does it consist of? Since we're born again, what's our new separated life? What should it be? Let's go back through this and see it again, just the opposite. The first of all, it is righteousness. We're righteousness. We're righteous. Okay, you see what it says there? So what partnership have righteousness, speaking of us, and lawlessness? None. Okay? So our separated life consists of righteousness. And it's light. Notice that in the last part there? Okay? Our fellowship has light with what fellowship has light with darkness? Has none, of course. But we're light. What the word says. And in fact, go to Matthew 5:14. And we'll read 15 and 16 also. Someone want to read that? Matthew 5:14.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah. So we're light. And what does this light do?
It shines.
Yeah.
It shines, but it reflects our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And our light being Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here in the Word it says, we were light and we're set on a hill. Why are we set on a hill? And it cannot be hidden.
Because the higher the elevation, the more people see.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. A light leads people somewhere.
Yes.
Okay? And in this case, the light leads people to the Lord. Because it goes on in 15, it says, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. No. If we're the light, then the light must be seeing. So we can't hide ourselves. Okay? We're Christians. We belong to God. We're His sons and daughters. We're His temple. Therefore, the light is not hidden. We don't hold it back. We're not ashamed of the gospel. But what happened is put on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. So this light leads people to our Lord. Okay? And in verse 16 it says, let your light shine before men. To do what? Why should I let it shine before men?
Because you're setting the example of your good works,
yeah,
that you do for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So others will want to come to know God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's telling us right there. He said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Not you glorifying it. They do. Okay? Who is in heaven. Now let's go back and let's look at this word temple. We are a temple. Well, first before we go to that, let's go. But we're more than that. Okay, the separated life consists of righteousness, light, and what's the next one in line there? In verse 15, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, so. We're separated unto Christ, and Christ is in us. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else there?
Believers?
Yeah. Believer. We believe. We believe everything that's written in this from page one to the last page in the book. Everything that is written. Okay? and a temple. That's what's next. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So we're temples. Now let's go look at that. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It's a statement. Yeah. I like the way it starts out. Do you not know? In other words, wake up. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know this? I remember the first time I read that. I stopped myself from, I'm not sure what it was, but when I read it, it touched me in such a way that I was just dumbfounded by it. And I thought, why? How can this be? How can I be a temple? This is flesh and blood. How can this be? And I prayed and asked the Lord, how can I be a temple? And the Lord told me, I can't live anywhere else but in you. This is what he told me. So I was so dumbfounded about it, I just didn't know how to accept it in my heart. And I kind of just let it go at that. And then over the years, you come into a realization that that's true. That is one of the truest statements in the Word of God, that he is within us and living and walking and speaking in us and to us and around us. It's a complete thing. There's nothing left out. In 1 Corinthians 6, where we're just at, if you go back there, 19 and 20. I'm a 6. There's no 19. I got the wrong ones here.
So 1 Corinthians 6.
Yeah, what am I at 2 Corinthians still?
Okay. Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, right. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. And go 20.
So, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own.
Mm-hmm.
But you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So this body that I'm living in with my Lord is not mine. It's his. See, you're all quiet and reading. So, what do you see? What do you tell me? What do you see? So, is God worshiping God? I'm glad you said no. See, I just threw that in there just so you see a little false teaching that can come out of that, something like that. It's because somebody would ask that, and you may have even heard about it. But anyway, so what he's saying, if God is living in me, is God worshiping himself? No. Uh-uh. We are in harmony with him, according to what we read in 2 Corinthians 6. :15. Or what harmony has Christ with Baal? We have nothing to do with Satan. So we're in harmony, harmony with Christ. You see what it's saying there? So we have nothing to do with Satan at all. And he has nothing to do with us. Any other questions or comments in right here? Okay, let's go on. We read the first part of 16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And we know that there's none whatsoever. There's no idols. And then he goes on in part B, the second part of this. It says, "For we are," and that's
emphatic.
Right, you got it. Truth, an emphatic truth that we are is what the Lord is telling us. Right, we are, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. The temple of the living God, just as God said. Okay, and I want you to, when we read this, okay, I want you to pay attention to the I will in these verses that we're going to read right now. If you will, I will dwell in them and walk among them. We're at 16, yeah, verse 16.
Second
Corinthians, I'm sorry. Left you guys there, did I? Okay. Yeah, second part of 16. Okay? Everybody there? Okay. Okay, he starts out, he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you notice the I wills there? Okay. Let's go on. Therefore, this is the, pay attention now. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. Says who? The Lord. Says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. Notice those two I wills? Okay. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So what do you see in these verses, what the Lord is telling us here, what Paul is writing about? It's very, very important. Very, very important.
Be separate from the world.
Yeah. What happens? What happens for if we accept that we are the temple of the living God, what takes place? What are these things that are taking place right here? These promises that God has just made.
He promises he will dwell in us because
yeah.
we abide by his rule.
Mm-hmm. I will dwell in them.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't, you know, before what we were talking about, if we're still in the world and we're still dabbling in lawlessness and darkness and unbelief and stuff like that, the Lord can't do it, won't do it. He's going to let us be and keep us in and let us stay in that state until we want to separate ourselves from it. And that's what he's telling us here in these verses. That's why these promises is, I will be their God. And that word there is for the believer, their God. Okay? It's the believer. And they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. So what's he talking about here about touching what is unclean? What's unclean?
The world.
Okay, you remember what on Sunday when Merrill was teaching? He mentioned this verse, the unclean part. Okay, not this verse, but what was unclean. So what's unclean? All right, go to Romans 14:14. It's what we say. Someone read that? 14? 14. Romans. Yeah, Romans 14, 14.
I know and am convinced by unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that you say it's unclean, then it's unclean. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, I know if you say that piece of poo there, that's unclean. I'm not going to touch that. But what about other things that we might say that's unclean?
Well, I keep getting that, and I don't know where it's at about the food. You go to someone's house, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they sacrifice it to whatever.
An idol.
And that's unclean.
If it be unclean to you.
Yeah.
But your husband might say, let's just chew that stuff down.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be unclean to him because, you know, he just accepts it as it is. You know, instead of falling into that food thing, which the world is definitely deep into. About unclean food, a lot. Go ahead.
I've always felt, Gary, that this verse always comes down to conviction.
Sure.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, for example, I know lots of Christians that celebrate Halloween. Personally, I was convicted a certain route, but I've never shared or tried to convince another Christian to follow my beliefs because of what the Lord has convicted me of.
Right.
Conviction in this matter is really what does the Lord need you to think and say about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there'll be others that follow a different route, but they don't feel convicted the same way that I will or that you will.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It just depends because these tend to be what they call gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically, it doesn't say thou shalt not celebrate Halloween, but it talks to us about idolizing things, what is it that you worship, the things that you do,
mm-hmm.
the way that you hold it in regard. So it depends on, you know, conviction is a big thing.
It is. You're absolutely right. It is. So whatever it is that we say is unclean, it's unclean to us, but it may not be unclean to someone else who is a Christian. And Paul even warns us about that we do not, we want to know each other. That way we don't want to cause each other to stumble in any way, shape, or form. So that's why it's important that our fellowship is a true fellowship and we are true brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we're a family. We have to accept that we're a family. And if we don't, then there goes the elbows, there goes the words, there goes everything, you know. It just ruins a congregation, ruins a fellowship. So we have to be very careful that we're in love with one another because we are a family. And that's the end of it. We are a family of God. Therefore, we should not be doing these other things. So what I say is unclean for me. It may not be unclean for Victor or anybody else. Okay? And that's what the Lord is talking to. Do not touch what is unclean. Okay? And I know there's more to it. We're just touching the surface of this. And he goes on, he says, I will welcome you and I will be a father to you. That is so, so important to know that. If we accept our Heavenly Father as our Father, in the sense of who He is, We've never been fathered that way before. That's all I can say. Because I'm familiar with my dad raising me, the things he told me to do, not to do, things he said, things I've kept. I have kept some of those, and some of them I haven't. But once we come to the realization that he is our father, it's a whole new, it's really hard to explain. It's hard to explain. It's just a whole new thought, new everything about us that we never knew before, because he will protect us from the evil one, number one. He made that promise to us that he would protect us from. He will keep the evil one from us, is what he says. Okay? I believe that's in Thessalonians, but anyway. But when we come to this realization that he will be our father, and to you, it's an individual thing. It's not it's mass, yes, but it's individual. A father. He's a father to me, a father to you, and to you. And he shows no partiality either. Okay? And he goes on, he says, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. That is so powerful. So powerful. He says this, the Lord Almighty says this. A new light. So you go in verse 7, he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Perfecting what?
Holiness.
In the fear of God. Would you please turn over to 1 John 2:15? First John, what did I say? 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Another promise. Everything that he just read, these three things in verse 16, are against God's love. Okay? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the prideful life. Pride of life. Now, we know for a fact that lust has its base roots in our sinful nature. We know that. We've been taught that from this very pulpit up here, time and time again. But still yet, like we touched a while ago, we still seem to fall back a little bit. You know, it's two steps forward and then back one. It seems to go like that every once in a while. And I want to tell you right now, if it continues, it's the Father that is moving you that way to get you to understand. I don't know how long it took me to get certain things out of my life. It just kept coming back. Situations kept coming back. I was familiar with it. And then one day it just was gone. I finally got it. So, and it took a while because this thing's thick. go ahead. What'd you say, James?
Hard coconut.
Yeah, you know that. Very hard. So the lust of the eyes, it leads to greed and covetousness. Doesn't it? Yeah, that's true. Very true. It's where it leads to. What about the pride of life? What's that all about?
Being very prideful.
Yeah. But it displays something. What does it display? It displays a false glory. Yeah. And it's so true. It's always about boasting what we have. And I was going to share with you, too, something that had a hold of me for a long, long time. And James knows I love to fish. In fact, I was part of a club years ago. Enjoyed tournament fishing. But I got into collecting fishing reels, especially engraved ones. And that had a terrible hold on me for years and years and years. And now I can just get rid of them, sell them, which is what I've been doing. So, but yeah, it really had. You wouldn't think something like a fishing reel would have a hold on you like that, but it did. It did. It was, being part of a club and stuff like that, you heard a lot of boasting. You saw a lot of boastful things that you could boast about. How big is your boat? What's the latest and greatest equipment that's out? What kind of bait you're using? Those kind of things, you know. You may have been in something like that. Something may have had a hold on you for years. And I can tell you that what God says about confessing them is very true. Once you do that, that breaks the hold. It'll break the hold. It's happened in my life, and I know of others that it's happened to, too, also. So anyway, so turn to 1 Corinthians 7:31. This deals with a short time that we have on this earth. Okay? What did I say? 1 Corinthians 7:31. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. This deals with the short time that we have here, and it deals with our witnessing. We should be using these gizmos and gadgets that we have for the glory of God and to be able to lead men and women to the Lord. And Mikey, my buddy, was supposed to be here tonight, and he called and said he wasn't feeling too good in the stomach area, so he stayed home. Does anybody have? Do you have my phone number in your phone where you can call it? Do you?
Yourself.
Yeah, I'll call myself. I want to share with you something that the Lord placed. Now, this is not bragging. Okay, I want to make that perfectly clear right now. This is not bragging.
We'll see, Gary.
But yeah, we'll make that judgment.
Preach on.
Yeah. But anyway, this is something the Lord laid on my heart years and years ago, and it was a witnessing tool on your phones. I'm going to let it go to voicemail. I'm just trying to turn the volume up here.
That seems kind of boastful to me.
Ah, do it again, Bob. Yeah, you did it, huh? Do it again, please.
Hit the wrong
button. It should be going to voicemail about now. Come on. I didn't know it was that long. Come on. Well, how come it didn't go to voicemail? Did you pick it up?
Are you trying to play your voicemail message?
Yeah.
It would be on
John's phone.
Be on your phone. I thought I could hear it on mine. This shows you what I don't know about these things. All right. It's going to turn your volume up and listen to the... Okay.
Don't answer it, Gary.
I want to. Come on. Did you get the recording?
It's on speaker, so no.
Huh? Well, what it says, okay, what my message says is, it says that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Is your house in order? That's what it says, okay? And I have had numerous calls about people calling and leaving a message, and they always say, my house is in order. I've heard that a lot. But there has been a few. And one that comes to mind was the salesman when I bought my car that I have right now from Larry H. Miller. He had called and left a message, and I didn't answer and stuff, and left a message. I needed to come in and sign some more papers for the car, and he called back the next day, and I answered it. And he didn't say, he didn't want to talk about the car, but he was so pricked in his heart that he said, you know, he says, I'm glad that you had that. That sure reminded me. And he says, I know I've been slipping away. Therefore, I'm going to return to the Lord. And that was such a blessing. So we need to make the best of our time that we have here on earth. Okay, use it correctly. The Lord created this earth for us. Let's use it correctly. Okay? And that's what he's saying here in verse 31. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. So please, make the best of it, okay? Any opportunity that you have to witness. Okay, and we're going to run out of time. I wanted to get to another part of this. About having no fellowship with brothers and sisters still in sin. Okay? That was where I was going to go next. Have no fellowship with them. That's what the Word tells us to do. And it literally just brings shame. You know? You're probably thinking kind of, that's kind of weird. You know? So, but just don't do it. Okay? Don't even eat with them. The unruly brothers and sisters. But I want to finish up in 1 Peter 1. So if you'll turn over there and we'll finish. Hebrew, James, Peter. Verses 13 through 21. I know it's a little long, but I just want you to, since we're running short of time, we won't really get deep into it. But just pay attention to what Paul is writing here. Okay? So if somebody will help me out and just go ahead and read this if your mouth is still wet.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wrong one.
Three.
One. Yeah, 1:13. Yeah.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How far,
Jerry? Go ahead through 16.
Through 16. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as is your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
So if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time you stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are are believers in God and raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And that's where I wanted to finish tonight. And I encourage you, if you will, please, this in 1 Peter, please go study that. It's about being holy, the whole thing, all right? So let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Why don't you go ahead and hit stop?